So I say the word sanctification, and you can see at the top of your outline, sanctification understood. So what is sanctification? What do you guys know of sanctification? I used the term progressive sanctification the other day at Panera in a small Bible study, and the guy rose his hand and said, I've never heard that before. I understand what you're saying, but I've never heard it put like that. So what do you understand as sanctification? Becoming like Christ. Okay, good. So becoming like Christ. What else? Is there anything else that kind of sticks in your mind about sanctification? Brian? Okay. So a chlorine smell at YMCA, that's very specific. Janine? It's a process, right. And so those things, two-thirds of those very clearly grasp, right? And one I think I could probably use as an illustration sometime. But it is this process of becoming more like Christ. That's really what sanctification is. Now, the terminology, and we're not going to dive deeply into it, but this is a theology, or this is a doctrine that really matters. This being set apart, and that's what the word means. It means to be made holy or to be set apart. And so as we're understanding sanctification, I have a bit of a definition here. Progressive sanctification is what gradually separates the people of God from the world and makes them more and more like Jesus Christ. So progressive sanctification is what gradually separates the people of God from the world and makes them more and more like Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand how that happens if we're going to help people, if we're going to reach their hearts, if we're going to be involved and not frustrate ourselves and not hurt those people who are around us. Now this morning, some of you filled out the Acts 20 pattern. How many people remember this morning we did the Acts 20 worksheet? That it was a small group worksheet that was handed out. If you didn't do it, that's fine. It's at the counter out front. And if you want to sign up for the online subscription, you can do that and you can get a ton of these materials and even more materials online. But we promised we would wrap back around. So for those of you that are wanting to catch up with us, I want to make sure that we do this through the Acts 20 pattern, right? So how are we going to get involved as we're talking about sanctification? These are some of the answers that you would find in Acts chapter 20. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts 20. I know this seems like a bit of a digression, but in the process, I want us to see that sanctification is about that change that happens to us that makes us more like Christ. Now that comes from different areas, right? So we see that the truth changes us. The truth affects us. The truth of the word. But not only that, people affect us. So as you are around wise people, as you are around good friends, you are going to be, in a very real way, sanctified. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7. This isn't outside of the scripture. And then we also see that struggles and sufferings, they cause us to see in our own character defects, and they cause us to then address things through the truth, and we reach out to God, and we find ourselves becoming more and more like Christ through suffering. And then God also changes us, and we make decisions to change. And so with all of that, I want us to see that Acts 20 is not out of context when it comes to sanctification. Paul was personally involved with those who were at Ephesus. As you look through these different verses, verse 18 and verse 20, verse 22 and 24, I just want you to see how he showed them what was important in that discipleship relationship. He served as an example. He spoke hard truths. As you write in there, you might see other things that are very encouraging to you or very clarifying for you. And I would just have you to spend time in Acts chapter 20. And so there's a worksheet there that you can finish, but I wanted to follow back up with you because sanctification, and we're going to see this, happens with people around us. It happens in community. And that's why it's important that we're here. I'm glad there are those who are listening online. I'm glad there are those who are doing the videos. But I am ecstatic. I am really, really encouraged by you being in the room. Because it's going to happen in community. And so I just want you to see those. Again, you are free to use your phone to take pictures of any screenshots, those kinds of things. I do that often. As we're dropping into the outline, I just want us to make sure that what we're doing is practical. Okay. So Acts chapter 20. Now, the main point of our outline is that we need to follow the Good Shepherd in helping others change through sanctification. And so we need to understand sanctification. There are really three terms of sanctification, three tenses. That is that there is a past, a present, and a future. So when we talk about being sanctified, there is a past sanctification that happens when we are completely forgiven by God's sacrifice or by Christ's sacrifice for me. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles. You'll see some proof texts up there. 1 Peter 1. So go to 1 Peter 1. And I'll just begin reading, but it says in 1 Peter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, the setting apart of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You see the word sanctification, that sanctification of the Spirit. And then going to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians, go ahead and turn over. You guys will have to remind me where 2 Thessalonians is. So for all the high schoolers that see me in chapel, this is why I tab my Bible, because I get more nervous under the lights. That's okay. I know. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And he says this, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because he chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." This is that initial sanctification, this initial setting apart. Now, we don't want to get that mistaken with the sanctification process of progressive sanctification, but we want to see that it is there. And then Ephesians chapter 2, talking about that one-time action that has these results. Ephesians 2, 6, it says, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so there's this thing that happened to us when we experienced salvation, when justification was given to us on the merit of Jesus Christ. We were sanctified, we were set apart. And we were set apart for service, we were set apart for Jesus Christ. And that's really, really important, because if we don't understand this part of sanctification, what we're going to do is we're going to try to expect people to do things that they aren't going to be able to do. We're going to expect people to do things that they are not going to do for the right reason. And so sanctification is the beginning. First being sanctified, first being saved, receiving the Holy Spirit. And then you can turn over into Ephesians chapter 4. We're in Ephesians. Just turn over to verse 11, and you see that he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And now listen, this is where we get into understanding present sanctification. so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. This is that progressive sanctification, that we're not going to remain as just children of God, that we're going to grow into manhood, we're going to grow into maturity. And teenagers, that's not easy. Right? Seventh graders, eighth graders, that's not easy to transition from being a child into being an adult with the responsibilities and with the changes and situations in life. It's not easy. And that's what we experience in progressive sanctification. And so what we're talking about is being able to walk through that with people and being able to say, this isn't the answer. This isn't being more like Jesus. This is something else. And it's really important that we do that for the glory of God. It's really important that we do that so that those people can experience the joy and the love and the fellowship of Jesus Christ as they are growing closer to Him. And so that is the progressive sanctification component. But then finally, just turn over to 1 Thessalonians 3:13. I'll try to get to the T's faster this time. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says this, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. And so at that time when we meet Jesus Christ, we will now understand those tenses of sanctification. We'll understand that we are on this continuum. We are on this timeline. We've accepted Jesus Christ. We've seen the sacrifice that He has made for us, and our hearts have been opened up to it. And we've been set apart. We've been sanctified into the people of God. There will come a day when we then are united in heaven and we have glorified bodies and we'll live all of eternity with Him. But in the meantime, what we have is progressive sanctification from growing up from a child in the faith into a mature man in the faith. The past tense is salvation, the present tense is progressive sanctification, and the future tense is glorification. Now again, this is theological, this is doctrinal, but it's important that we understand that this is where we're operating when we are biblically counseling. This is the hard truth that we have to be able to grasp and rejoice in ourselves and understand in ourselves so that we can give it to somebody else. We are no longer under the penalty of sin because Jesus Christ took that on Himself. But now we are still in this time when we are under the power of sin. And it has this ability to be able to influence us. And then in eternity, we will be outside of that, and it will not have any power, it will not have any presence in our lives. Now as we look at that, I just want us to be able to see that in the realm of what we're talking about with sanctification. So go ahead and turn over in your notes. If you want to fill out, you can. The past tense of my sin was completely forgiven. The present tense of my sin is progressively decreasing as I become more like Christ. And the future tense is that power will be completely done away with. And so progressive sanctification happens in the present tense. And so we come to Jesus and we see that our lives aren't what they ought to be. And so we want to put that off. We see that we are walking around others who need help doing that. Now, what are some of the things that we do? And what are the things that God does? We see that in this next slide. We see that God is going to work in our lives to make us who it is that He desires us to be. And as that happens, that is going to bring with it opportunities for us to be able to see ourselves as we really are. And that's really not encouraging at times. I'm driving up into my neighborhood just this week, just a couple days ago. My neighbor is outside, and it doesn't take me long to see that he has a couple new babies. He has the car seats out of the car. They're all laid out, and he's spraying them down in the driveway, and he doesn't look happy. In this flu season, I'm sure you can't guess what's happening. And I walk up to him, and I see an opportunity just for conversation. And he says, "Why does this happen? I'm two blocks from the house." And I said, "God loves you, Chris." And he's like, "Yeah, maybe God does, but this isn't God. This is the devil. This is the other guy." I said, I don't know. I think that God does these things sometimes." And I was like, "He wants us to be like Jesus." And he's like, "Well, this doesn't make me like Jesus. This makes me less than Jesus. This makes me all of these things." And I said, "Chris, you know, it's not that it doesn't make you not like Jesus. It's that it reveals that you're not like Jesus. That's all. By grace, when these things come in your life, God is revealing to you that you're not yet like Jesus." And that's not a news flash, right? For any of us, it's not a news flash. But why is it so hurtful to our ego? Why do we resist it so much to say, "You know what, I'm not yet perfect. I do need to be sanctified. I do need to grow more like Jesus Christ." It's because we want to do it on our own. It's because we want to be self-sufficient. We still have that in us. And in these moments, whatever that thing is, maybe it's a lifetime or a life situation desire that you have not been able to attain, and that is seeming more and more distant. Maybe it's an activity that you were once able to do, and your inability to be able to do that thing is revealing to you that you're getting older. Maybe it's the way you respond to your kids, even this afternoon, on your way to church. And you look at yourself and you say, "I know better than that. I know that I know that's not helpful. I know that's not how I'm supposed to live." Or maybe you're like me. And PowerPoint and Keynote are not operating the way that I think they should operate. And I think everything should just fit into my box in life. And when it doesn't happen, I'm shaking in my fist at an inanimate object at 17 after 5. And I'm teaching on sanctification. How embarrassing. How ironic. How honest. None of us are like Jesus yet. You're not like Jesus yet. The people in your life aren't like Jesus yet. And we have a real opportunity to be able to see that and to rejoice that we can do this together. We can go humbly into those conversations, because what we see is that God will prune in our lives. John 15, and for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but we understand that every branch that bears fruit, God prunes. Pruning is cutting away. Pruning is reshaping so that it might bear more fruit. Pruning hurts. Those relationships of people that moved to Greenville, South Carolina, or the people in your life who pass away. The pruning in your life of the job that you thought was secure and it gets taken away. The pruning in your life of the schedule that you thought that you had, and now you have another child, or now you have another activity, whatever that thing is. And God prunes that away, and we need to examine ourselves to see how we're responding to that. What is it that takes our joy? What is it that takes our peace? And so as God prunes, we need to see that. God will also purify. He will heat us up in that crucible of life, and he will bring those impurities to the top. And then what we are to do is that we are to scrape it away, or we are to put it off and put it on. Put off the dirtiness and the dross that comes to the top in those times, and repent of that and consciously turn from that. We need to examine ourselves in those times, and we need to see that those things are by God's grace to reveal that we're not yet like Christ. And as we do that, we need to, as it says in the outline, watch out, and we need to flee. To get a little bit into the emotions module that we'll be in a few weeks, the one thing that even right now would be very, very helpful for all of us in progressive sanctification is that all of us, from the youngest of the teenagers to the oldest of the saints, is to take off the table, take out of our conversation, I shouldn't feel, or don't feel like that. So we get a lust that pops up, we get an anger that pops up, we get a bitterness that pops up, and what do we say? Don't feel like that. And we push it down. And that is not why God has brought it to the top. God has not brought it to the top for you to admit that you don't want to feel like that. God has brought it to the top for you to examine it and then for you to be able to take it away through the putting off and the putting on process. If you're feeling an emotion and you know that you're not supposed to be feeling that emotion in that place, then rejoice that God is revealing something to you for you to be sanctified in. And so as you're seeing that in the lives of those who are in your classes or in your work or even in your church, it's okay to be able to talk about that and say, why am I feeling like that? Why are you feeling like that? Not don't feel like that. Part of the sanctification process. I want to share just a quick resource. This is one of the books that we have in the bookstore. There's a number of books out there, actually, on sanctification. This is one that's in the bookstore. It's called How People Change. Oftentimes in sanctification, as we start feeling emotions and start doing things that we think are going to make us more like Jesus, we're going the wrong way. How People Change has a really interesting excerpt that I'm going to read a couple quotes from. One is this, and then I'll end with this as well, but he says, whenever you believe that the evil outside you is greater than the evil inside you, A heartfelt pursuit of Christ will be replaced by a zealous fighting of the evil around you. Let me say it again. Whenever you believe that the evil outside of you is greater than the evil inside of you, a heartfelt pursuit of Christ will be replaced by a zealous fighting of the evil around you. Do you find yourself trying to sanctify others instead of yourself? Do you find you pushing down your own emotions and not admitting whenever there's work for you to do, but then seeing everybody else's follies? It could be that you're not understanding sanctification. Now, in How People Work, he goes through this list of basically things that miss sanctification. One is formalism. Formalism is not sanctification. Formalism is every time that the church doors are open, I'm there. Every time there's an event, I'm there. Every time there's an activity, I'm there because I'm sanctified. That's not sanctification. Now, that's not bad. It's not wrong if the motive is right. But it's not sanctification. Legalism. Walking in the do's and don'ts and judging those that don't do those same do's and don'ts is not sanctification. Mysticism. So careening from one emotional experience to another emotional experience, constantly hunting for a spiritual high or a dynamic encounter with God is not sanctification. That's not this being filled with Christ and being content with that and being self-evaluative. Activism. Being on the picket line or on Facebook about your favorite political pundit is not sanctification. Please do not fool yourselves. If you're fighting the evil that is around you more than you're fighting the evil that is within you, you are running away from sanctification. Biblicism. This is the one who has the theological library, the high degrees, the Greek language, and you look at his or her life, and it's a train wreck. And there's no practical success in his relationships. There's no Christ-likeness in his relationships or in his person, but he can tell you anything that you want to about Bible history or about the Greek language. That is not sanctification. Psychologyism. The one who is running around and just talking about how everybody has problems and how they can be solved and how we need to be more caring for those who are underserved. And those are very good things. These are not bad things, but these are not sanctification. And then finally, socialism. That one who really church is easily replaced by a favorite football team or by something that we all do together. And so you're plugged into a Sunday school class, and after Sunday school, the message really doesn't appeal to you too much, and so you go because you've had your social experience for the week, and you get along with people. That's not sanctification. Sanctification is growing in Christ-likeness, being able to examine ourselves. And so as we look at that, I want us to see that there are things that we can do as we're looking around at one another. As we're walking through sanctification together, these are ways that you can help others grow in progressive sanctification. One, you can communicate your passion, heart, and love for God. Paul says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Don't you see how good God has been to me? Young person, when you're at lunch or when you're in the hallways, and you see somebody treating somebody else wrong, or you see people talking about crude things, do you know that you have every right, you have the same power in your voice to be able to talk about the good things that God has done in your life? You have that opportunity. We all do, and we need to communicate that passion, that heart, and love for God. We don't need to work on fighting the evil that is around us. We don't have to work on speaking down everybody around us that sins. Why don't we speak up Christ? Why don't we communicate that heart that we have for God? We work on our own sanctification, and we're able to sanctify those who are around us. Also using specific scriptural truth to renew our minds. As Pastor Benson talked about this morning, the Bible is majoritively narrative. There's a lot of narrative in the Bible, and it is because we need to see those pictures. Doctrines do not reach the heart, but stories do. Doctrines don't reach the heart, but poetry does. And so God knows that, and he gives that to us. And we need to be in the Bible. We need to see how God has worked with his people, to see how he is working with his people still. Encourage true repentance, not just outward change. We talked about that this morning. This is not behavior modification that just breeds frustration. It just breeds lost people that are being moral. And be patient over time for changes to take root. And trust God to help them finish strong. These are really important because from every person in this room has a story. Every person in this room is going through something right now. And it's come from a certain background and is going to a certain place that might be different than where we're going. And we don't know what they're facing. And so as much as you don't like to be misunderstood, as much as you don't like to be mischaracterized, as long as you don't like to be misdiagnosed, understand that other person doesn't like it either. And so teacher or supervisor, before you go to one who is under your authority, think about your own sanctification. Think about how it is that you can speak into that in a very specific way in order to help them understand God. Those who are underneath others, who are under authority. Before you respond in haste or in frustration to those who are above you, Take a deep breath. What is God doing in your life? What is he raising up in you through your emotions that he can then take off and that you can put off in order to be more like Jesus Christ? This is ways that we can practically help people tomorrow or even tonight with sanctification. This is what we're talking about as we go through the process of helping others. A couple of the sheets that you have attached, I want to walk through with you very quickly, and then we're going to break up into our small groups. The first one that I have up on the wall is out of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe this is as clear of an opportunity we have to see progressive sanctification in a life as anywhere else in the Bible. And so I would have you this week study 2 Peter chapter 1. Think through 2 Peter chapter 1. Discuss that with people that you are in relationships with. If you have your paper, you can see that it starts with faith. And then virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Let's turn over there very quickly, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to turn there, your dog-ear the page, or highlight or underline if you are that kind of a Bible keeper. I am. My Bible is a colorful mess. And so he says this in verse 5, and there's so much to this context. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a central understanding of progressive sanctification. He says, make every effort, in verse 5, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Now listen, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is this step pattern that we see in here. There's this adding to or this supplementing with. And so first you start with faith, and I'm going to accept Christ. Now, virtue is wanting to be like Jesus Christ. Knowledge, then, is how you learn. You're going to read the Bible, and you're going to grow in that knowledge and understand what it means to be like Jesus Christ. Self-control, then, is where that work is. And so we're going to determine to live by God's word. We're going to try. It's still January, so there are still some of you who are on your futile diets. And that will eventually go away because we're in this self-control then into perseverance. Perseverance is where it sticks, where we actually overcome a sin or we actually overcome a habit. And this is all in our Christian lives all of the time. This is sanctification. Rightly understood, this is what it is in every aspect of our lives. And then we go to godliness. And godliness is pursuing a heart of devotion toward God. This is really important if you're wanting to help other people. Because what can happen very quickly is that you are persevering in one area of your life. And now you're going to go after somebody else who is not able to stay self-controlled in that area of life. And you're going to say, why can't you get this? Look at me, I've been doing this for 15 years. It's not that hard. All you have to do is X, Y, and Z. Because that's what worked for me. But that's not what we're talking about. Sanctification for all of us is very personal. The Word of God speaks to us in different ways. Now, doctrine is very solid. But as we're reading through that, we understand that it affects us in different ways. And so we need to grow in our humility as we're persevering so that we can have brotherly kindness and love. And so you have as many facets in your life as a diamond does to its shape. And in each one of those facets, what God is desiring for you is that you become more like Christ in each one of those things. Do you have areas that you don't struggle? That's great. Do you have areas that you're struggling and you need to progressively be sanctified? Then that is what we're talking about in this lesson. And so as we understand sanctification, it should grow us in our humility. It should grow us in our knowledge. It should grow us in the way that we love one another. And as we're going through that life, we ought to be running this race and walking this race with God. You can see that as your next handout. And so from the eternal mind of God, we go through. There's a lot of teaching on these pages. I included them because I want you to have robust material. I hope that you're studying this through the week. If you don't, you'll have it with you. But we need to understand that we are to be progressing toward Christ's likeness. But what ends up happening is that we fall short. And if we don't understand progressive sanctification, we get burdened down. We get broken down. We get discouraged and we slow down. And that's why it's important that we're all here tonight. Because it's done in community. Remember, there are people, there are situations, there is the Word that all affects our sanctification. And so we can't do it alone. If you're struggling tonight, please understand that this happens to us all. One of those facets gets into our mind and our conscience, and it burdens us, and we feel like we can't do any of it. And so reach out for help or have a conversation or say, you know what, I need to talk. That's how sanctification happens. It happens with all of us. It happens in community. Again, a lot of teaching underneath this, and I would have you guys go through it, soak in it for a couple days or a few days, email me or call me or talk with one of your other peers. But understand that you're not alone in one of those facets of your life needing sanctification. And as we do that together, then we can all be built up, as Ephesians chapter 4 would say. And so tonight, we have about 10 or 12 minutes to talk through the handout that I gave you for sanctification. I'll be around afterwards for questions. I'm going to pray for us, and then I will let you, again, just kind of turn or break or pocket into groups of 5 or 6. This is week 1, so we'll be a little bit flexible. I'll come back and close us up in about 10 minutes. If there's questions, I'll be walking around. So let's pray, and then you guys can split up into your groups.